Mark Tate was preaching and he started his sermon by referring to their heavyweight bout with Tyson Fury. Well, I think I'm going to the other extreme. I'm going to start by talking about the Archers. If you've never heard of it, it's a radio soap opera. It's been running 70 years, believe it or not. And after not really being at all interested, I finally got hooked. The church in Ambridge is called, anybody? St. Stephen's. And they currently have a Lent appeal whereby you have to give compliments to people, and if someone is given a compliment, they are meant to make a donation to charity. There are flaws with this plan. And that is already becoming apparent. But is it really necessary for us, all of us, to observe the season of Lent? Perhaps by giving something up or taking something on? The answer is no, it isn't necessary. Because Jesus died so that we could be set free from the law. But is it a good thing to do? Yes, it is. We don't need to, but we might want to for the sake of our spiritual lives. Over the next few Sundays, we'll be looking at some of the life-changing habits that we can focus on in Lent. But will stand us in good stead all year long. Prayer, fasting, reading the Bible, and generous hospitality. These 40 days are an important preparation for the most wonderful festival of all, Easter. When we celebrate Jesus' death and his new life, which makes it possible for us to have new life too. Most Christians in the UK don't take Lent particularly seriously. This week I was talking to a group of Muslim women in an English class in Southall. They know very well about fasting. The holy month of Ramadan involves no food or water in the hours of daylight. I think they're a little surprised at our relaxed attitude as Christians. But if we don't have to do it, and it doesn't win us favour with God, as the Muslims believe, what's the point in observing Lent? Could you turn to the passage again with me? It's page 967, our gospel reading from Matthew 4. And we're going to look at the context. So although this passage starts in the fourth chapter of Matthew, these temptations don't come out of the blue. In chapter 3, you'll see that Jesus has been baptized. And the scripture says, at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus' baptism there is preparation for the ministry that lies ahead for him. He's hearing that his Father loves and is pleased with him and that the Spirit is with him. It's an affirmation of his calling and is necessary because his ministry will be demanding on every level. With this knowledge of his Father's love and approval, Jesus is led by that same Spirit into the wilderness for a time of temptation, or as some translations have it, testing. There are three temptations he has to face, and three ways that Jesus responded to them that we can learn from. His first temptation was to eat. Look at verse 2 with me. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Surely an understatement. It's very hard for me to go without food. I don't know about you. And I can't imagine it was easy for Jesus, who the Bible says was a human being just like us. And 40 days is a very long time. The second temptation, you'll see in verse 5, is for safety and security. In verse 5, the devil takes him to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem and tells him to throw himself off because God will protect him. The third temptation we can see in verse 8, and this is for power and status. The devil takes him to a very high mountain, shows him the kingdom of the world and their splendor, and says, "All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me." Comfort, safety, status. These temptations are still very much around today. They can distract us and prevent us from being fully reliant on God. They can tempt us to get complacent, to think we don't really need God in our lives, that we are good enough without him. And if we face the same temptations as Jesus, there are aspects of the way Jesus deals with those temptations that are equally available to us today. Firstly, Jesus was certain of his calling. Sadly, it's not uncommon to hear of people with massive wealth, status, popularity, still feeling completely empty inside and deciding that life isn't worth living. Jesus knew he was loved. He knew his life had a purpose, that he had a mission, but that the power of the Spirit would be with him to give him the strength to fulfill it. He sees something, he hears something, the Spirit like a dove lighting on him, and he hears an audible voice speaking to him. Not all of us experience physical signs like that, but we have God's word, the Bible, assuring us of his love, forgiveness, guidance, and peace. The Bible tells us that we are God's children and loved so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us so that we could experience new life, both here on earth and in eternity when we die. I struggled with my self-image growing up. Once I understood that I was precious to God and my life had meaning, it changed my perspective completely. Our calling as Christians is to live wholeheartedly with Jesus at the center, and it's vital. If we're not sure about it, Lent is an excellent chance to put aside time to pray, to read, perhaps to talk to a trusted friend or priest. If you know in your heart that you've never truly made a commitment to Jesus and are just playing the game, you have a choice. You can carry on as you are, or you can allow this Lent to be a time of change for you. Why not do something about it this year and experience Easter as you never have before? The second way that Jesus deals with temptations that come his way is that he responds to the devil with words of scripture. If the only time we open our Bibles is on a Sunday, we're really missing out. The Bible's full of practical teaching, great stories, beautiful poetry, and so much more. It can be challenging to understand in places, but there are resources and people that can help us, and attending a connect group where you can discuss with others is really valuable. A pattern of reading that works for us opens us to the power of the scriptures to make a difference in our lives. We're going to hear more about that later in Lent. But to know our Bible is vital if we're going to withstand temptation, wherever it comes from. The third way Jesus deals with the temptations is being ready for them when they come. Because come they will. He was commissioned for ministry at his baptism, but instead of rushing to get started, he takes time to prepare by being alone and spending time in prayer and fasting for 40 days. Maybe we're in a situation where we can't physically get away to a metaphorical desert place. Although I know some of you here have benefited from retreats of one sort or another over the years. But nevertheless, this Lent can still be a mental break from the usual routine. Switching off social media, putting aside a favourite TV or radio program, or even something a bit more difficult perhaps, not spending time with someone we know is a bad influence on us. These are all valuable disciplines. And of course, it can be giving up something we like to eat or drink. Remember though, the point is not to lose weight or to get fitter. The point is to become more like Jesus. And when we fail, as we probably will at some point, we can know his forgiveness given to us by his death on the cross. Pick ourselves up and start again. As Christian speaker J. John says, a battle won over coffee, chocolate or cake may help us to win a battle over lust, lying or laziness later. Lent is a training ground for Christian living. Observing Lent is not easy, but it's the perfect time to train ourselves to be better Christians and to follow Jesus' example of living from a place of knowing that we are called by God, of knowing Scripture, and of knowing the vital importance of taking time to be alone with him, to pray, and to fast from those things that have a hold on us.